There are occasions when I wish we would just skip the sermon and just continue the worship. I'd like to thank you for being here today and thank you for encouraging me by your words, by the prayers that have been prayed, by the songs that we have lifted our voices together to encourage and to worship God. And if you're our guest, we want you to know we're very honored to have you. And of course, we also trust that our most honored guest is the Lord Himself that we have come together today to worship. I appreciate all of the concerns that you have had in behalf of my cousin Ricky Jenkins. I sort of have a mixed bag of news from that. He has had a better week in that he has had no seizures. That was as of Thursday. However, the downside of that is that he had an EEG on Wednesday, and they cannot really determine exactly the cause of those seizures, and there's some concern there. And he is scheduled to have an MRI tomorrow, and he said he's getting tired of all the doctor visits. But he wants you to know that he appreciates all of your prayers, all of the cards that you have sent, and all of the concern that you have had in behalf of him, and we appreciate that as well. Today I want to talk to you about something that we commonly talk about at the beginning of every year, the value of Bible reading. And most of you know that over the last few years we have tried to encourage you to get involved in spending 15 to 20 minutes a day of in daily Bible reading, daily devotional, and prayer. And in our society, there are so many wonderful opportunities that we have and avenues by which we can accomplish that task. Mark Roberts has an excellent reading schedule that he makes available at his website. In the Bible bookstore, you have the English Standard Version, in which there is the one-year Bible, the daily Bible that some of you read a few years ago, the New International Version. And there are a number of wonderful books that are put out. Gary Henry publishes a couple of books, Diligently Seeking God and Reaching Forward. And he even makes not only the book available, but he makes all of that information available free of charge at his website, wordpoints.com. Now, the one reason why, or several reasons why we encourage daily Bible reading, that's basically what I want to talk about today. But most of you may know about this project called SETI. Several years ago, when Nancy and I were traveling across the state of New Mexico, we went through the central part of New Mexico, and there were just hundreds and miles and miles and miles of satellite dishes. Millions of dollars that our government has spent on the project called SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. In fact, Jodie Foster did a movie a few years ago back in the late 90s, the name of the movie called Contact, which was about this program. Now, the irony of all of that is that we spend millions of dollars in search of extraterrestrial intelligence, but the fact is that for just a few dollars, you can go to a bookstore, or you can go to Sam's or Walmart or CVS or a number of places, and you can buy a copy of a message that comes from heaven. The greatest treasure that you have is the treasure that you have in your lap today. And the reason why is because Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has provided everything that we need now and for eternity. God has provided the information that we need to know in how we can glorify Him and honor Him and please Him. And you don't have to spend millions of dollars to know what God expects of you. It's interesting that America has some rather strange habits with regard to Bible reading. According to a Gallup poll, year 2000, 65% of those polls said that the Bible contains essential information. However, of those 65%, only 32.5% said they read the Bible once a week. Furthermore, of those 65%, 28% said they never read it. And furthermore, we find that 35% of those said that they were interested in learning about the Bible. However, readership has declined since 1980. 16% of Americans read it daily. And the frequent readers of the Bible are women, the elderly, and the non-whites. Several observations that I make about that. Number one, many say they believe that the Bible contains essential information. But number two, very few read it, and even fewer read it systematically. And number three, many who say that it contains essential information are not willing to make the sacrifice to know exactly what God has for us. According to the Barna report, again in the year 2000, Barna researchers found that the Psalms is the most popular book in America. Genesis and Matthew, Revelation and Proverbs, Job and Luke are among also the most popular books. 1% said the book of Joseph was their most favorite book. I wonder what's wrong with that picture. And furthermore, 30% they weren't even sure which testament to find Isaiah. In fact, 10% were very confident that Isaiah was in the New Testament. And finally, 12% said that Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Now, it might be humorous, but in a sense, it's a very serious thing, because what we find is that many people in our society are very ignorant of what God wants us to do. The fact is that this Bible should be read. And the fact that you have it in your lap is not enough. The fact that you own a copy is not enough. It takes work and dedication and sacrifice. But if one will devote themselves to daily Bible reading, there are a number of rewards that can come from being devoted to letting God talk to you every day. In fact, there are six questions, very important questions, that are answered in the Bible. Number one, who is God? Number two, who is man? Number three, who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus teach? And what must I do? And those six questions I want us to take a look at for a little while. First of all, the Bible tells us who God is. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 33, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. So when I read the Bible, I can understand who God is. It doesn't take a theologian or a scholar to understand the nature and character of God. The common man can pick up the book that God gave him, and he can understand the nature and character of God. They can understand His power, understand that He is the creator of heaven and earth. And they can read about His providence. They can read about how God brought about a nation through the seed of Abraham, and of how God providentially cared for that nation for many years, and ultimately by His providence and plan from that nation, He brought forth a Savior. Of how God, through His loving kindness, has always loved the creature man that He created, and has cared for him not only physically, but spiritually as well. And the fact is that you and I have the privilege of tapping into this great source of power, the creator of heaven and earth, to pray to Him and to listen to Him talk. That's what you learn when you read the Bible. And knowledge of God can help us and encourage us. More important than any history book, more important than any math lesson, are the spiritual lessons that God gives us in this book. Why is it so difficult for us to devote just a little while of letting God talk to us? Furthermore, I can not only know who God is, but I can know what man is. What is man? First of all, I can know that God made man in His image. And I can understand not only the origin of man, but the very purpose for which He made man. That here God made man upright, but He sought out many inventions. As Solomon says, that man is accountable to God, that one day he will die, that he will go back to the dust, but the spirit will go to God who gave it. And that Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The very purpose for which God made man was to serve Him. And that man is accountable to his creator. And I can read about the history of man. I can read about how God made man and put Adam and Eve in the garden. And it becomes a rather ugly picture of how man disappointed God, of how man transgressed God's law, yes, even in paradise. And I can read the ugly story of how Cain took his brother. I can read the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. God is very candid about the history of this creature that He made, that He made him upright, but man made choices that disappointed God. But I can also read of how a man by the name of David disappointed God, but he was a man after God's own heart. I can read about the faith of Abraham. And I can read about the faith and courage of Moses. And I can read about the courage of Esther and the faith of Sarah. And I can read about the courage of Daniel, of the purity of Joseph. And I can come to this book and I can read about 12 disciples that Jesus handpicked, that He chose. And how those disciples, by their faith and courage, was willing to take the greatest news that God has ever given to the whole world. That's what I get when I read the Bible. That's what I can understand. I can know all about man. I can know also about who Jesus is. Jesus is the very heart and soul of the Bible. Isaiah the prophet had prophesied concerning Him, years before His birth, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as I read through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, I can find that this Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. That God came to earth and visited man in the flesh. I don't understand that. I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I know the Bible tells me that there is a clear message through Jesus that God really cared about me and you, because God let His Son live in this world and die a cruel death. You see, not only does the Bible tell me who Jesus is, but the Bible tells me what He did. Paul says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That Jesus lived in this world, but cruel men put Him to death. But God raised Him from the dead. And that He was seen of witnesses, chosen by God after His resurrection. This knowledge is encouraging. Because I know that the greatest possession that I have is my soul. And that God has done something for me so that I can live. That even though the picture of man is ugly, and yes, sometimes even the picture of George's life is not exactly pretty, God still loved me. By His grace, He still offered His Son. God gave His Son. And this Son came back to life. And because of that, I don't have to be afraid to die. Not only that, I can not only know what Jesus did, but I can know what He teaches. I can read through the Bible and I can read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and I can read some of the most profound truths ever given to mankind. The Sermon on the Mount is a masterpiece. Why? Well, because it came from heaven. a masterpiece on how I can relate to God and how I can relate to others. God gave these profound teachings. And when I read His book, I can know how I need to respond to God. I can know how to avoid sin. I can know of the attitudes that I need to cultivate and of the great spiritual values that I need to embrace. You won't find that in a math book or a science book, but you'll find it in the Bible. Great spiritual values that are of more importance than anything else. And thus Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock." So the question is, am I building my life upon these wonderful, profound truths? Don't rely on me to have your Bible knowledge. Take it upon yourself to have personal commitment and accountability. I'll try my best to encourage you in daily reading. As most of you know, we'll print a monthly schedule that you can follow if you so desire. And I'll try to reinforce that schedule with sermons. But you take charge of your life and allow God to talk with you every day through this book. I want you to encourage you to get involved in daily Bible reading, because you can know about what Jesus taught and you can know about what I need to do. Basically this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That my responsibility is to fear God and keep His commandments. But I know that I disappoint God. We all do. But the joy is that in Christ, because of His crucifixion, there is no condemnation. And as I read through the Bible, I can know what I need to do to be saved. I can know what I need to do to be redeemed by the grace of God. That first of all, I must truly believe that Jesus is God's Son. And based upon that faith, I need to have a change of heart. That is a determination that I'm going to give my life to Him. That I'm going to make Jesus the Lord and Master of my life. Based upon that faith, I need to confess Him as Lord and to tell the world that I believe that He's the Son of God. And based upon that faith, I need to be immersed in water for the remission of sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And after baptism, then I need to make the commitment that I'm going to strive to follow Him for the rest of my life. Maybe today you have a spiritual need. Maybe there's something that we can do for you today to assist you in making sure that your life is right with God. God has the answer. God's answers are in this book. If there's something we can do to assist you in helping you to find the way, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.
Just as I am.
visiting with us. We ask that you come back anytime you can. And the next time would be 2:00 this afternoon. We hope to see everybody back. Brother Bruce will lead us in a word of closing prayer.
Would you bow with me? Our merciful God and our Heavenly Father, we're again reminded this morning of all the great spiritual blessings that you've given us. We're so thankful for this congregation here that worships here in San Marcos, and we're thankful for all the members that comprise it. We're thankful for our brother George, who so ably brings us lessons from your word. We're thankful for the elders who lead this congregation here. Father, we're so thankful for all that you do for us, that you attend to our physical needs, but the spiritual needs is what you've seemed to do the most for us. And all these are to help us to be with you in heaven one day. Father, we pray for all those that are here this morning, that you bless each and every one of us. Pray that you'll be with those that are traveling now, that are making their way back home from the holidays. Be with each one and give them a safe journey home. Father, when we fall short, pray that you'll help us to repent, that you'll forgive us when we do so, that you'll be with us through this coming year, that you'll help us to be the people that you would have us to be, that we may have opportunities to bring more people to your Son, and also have that hope of heaven that we have. Please be with us always, Father, and bring us back at the next appointed time. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.